is the Chris Abraham Show.
Hey there, this is the Chris Abraham Show. My name's Chris Abraham. It's season 5, episode 62, I think. Today is a beautiful day. It's hot today. It's Sunday the 3rd of August, of September. And had a great day yesterday. Went to Park Run, was a tail walker, rode my bike there and back. And once I drove through, I took a detour through M Street through Georgetown. It was very cool. Today I'm feeling under the weather though. Today I'm kind of Flemish. My nose is stuffed. I had a big breakfast and I kind of had a big lunch. They were both carnivore. And I'm off to get coffee from Starbucks and some water and get my day in. Today's episode is about, I finally figured out, I was listening to Alan Dershowitz and listening to how he's interpreting the entire world of what's going on with regards to the anti-Trump witch hunt and this incessant, endless, shameless movement against Trump by any means necessary, and also against any activists or any people who are actively and openly the equivalent of leftist activists, but are considered Trump-based or, you know, the various and sundry what are considered right-wing extremist groups and so forth, and this move and so forth. And then I just thought to myself while I was listening to Alan Dershowitz interviewed by Glenn Beck yesterday after the race and before I came home, and I believe that America is actually in a hot civil war. America is in a hot civil war. It's not a cold civil war. It is a civil war nonetheless. It is in no doubt going on at this very moment, but you might not recognize it because it's not really small arms and small unit tactics. There's not an extreme amount of car bombs or building bombs or anything like the Troubles back in the days of the IRA. It's not blowing up office buildings or taking out federal buildings. But something I always say to my friends is that in a modern democratic world where we do not have knights and we do not have baronets and we do not have barons, the knights are the lawyers in modern America, the baronets are the judges, and the barons are the judges above that. Or I would even say that the baronets are the public prosecutors, and the barons are the federal judges, the judges above that. Not traffic court judge, not night court judge, but I'm talking about these federal court judges who are the front line between the law of the land and the Supreme Court. I believe that is where the civil war is happening. The civil war is happening through the law, through, one might say, a weaponization of the law, a weaponization of the Department of Justice. One might say that there is enough money and energy to foment bad law in order to take the legs out of people who are perceived as the enemy. And these are guerrilla tactics. These are guerrilla tactics where nonprofit groups will sue or try to get disbarred any lawyer who tries to help an enemy of the state, such as a Donald Trump or a Rudy Giuliani or whomever. Harassment, you can harass people using the law. You can charge people on, you can charge people with anything. It doesn't mean that that the charges will stick. But if you do not have a lawyer and you do a plea, you might end up with a record anyway, right? Take a plea. Doesn't mean you're not guilty. It means that you're pleading to a lesser charge, but you still will have a criminal record, which will make things difficult for you. You might end up having to be on parole for years. You might end up doing some time in the clink. So the weaponization of courts. So you can totally, let's say all the indictments that are happening against Trump, for example. Let's say of the 96 indictments or charges or whatever that are against Trump, let's say all 96 are thrown out at the Supreme Court level after appeal. By that time, his reputation will be trashed. He'll be hundreds of millions of dollars underwater. There'll be no end in the disservice to the democratic process. Like, this is a civil war, and the civil war never escalates into a kinetic, small arms, bloody battle, because before that remotely happens, you can arrest and indict and charge and jail whomever you want. If you make laws that say that if you're a Proud Boy, then you're a domestic terrorist. And as a domestic terrorist, you come under Patriot Act instead of normal civil or criminal cases. You come under some sort of interpretation there's a term for it. I'm not a lawyer, but the term is that you do not count in terms of the idea that you are a criminal. You are defined as a terrorist or enemy combatant, and you can be held for as long as anybody wants. You can be held. You can lose your right to appeal. Other strategies that seem to happen all over the place, and I can't believe it, is you used to think that you would have your day in court, right? Well, the weaponization of the legal system, which is what I'm calling the second civil war, a hot war, not a cold war. This is being very aggressive, is the concept that if, let's say, for example, all the Republicans that were trying to take to the court accusations that the 2020 elections were somehow corrupt, fraudulent, rigged, illegal, etc. These, because of standing or because of political pressures or because you know that if you go ahead and try to defy the establishment, whatever the establishment is, your career is ruined, like Alan Dershowitz was saying, for 10 years from 75 until his 85th birthday, which I think is today or yesterday, he was a pariah. He was a pariah. 10 years ago, a woman accused him of raping her, and it was proven to be false, according to him. But he still deals with the stigma today. His reputation has been ruined. He's not invited to parties. So, you know, Alan Dershowitz is just coming out with a book now, I believe, where he compares this civil war that's happening through the justice system that is happening not with blind justice, but with weaponized justice, lowercase j. He believes that this is a new McCarthyism. And he said, while the first McCarthyism, the anti-Soviet McCarthyism, anti-communist McCarthyism, was done by a bunch of old people who had lost their a lot of their initial, you know, they were already old men, already middle-aged men, already old men when they were fomenting anti-communist propaganda, the Red Scare, the new, if you will, McCarthyism, the people who are the most fervent about this sort of thing are in, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old. So in 20 years, they will, these same people who have this terrified, terrifying concept of righteousness, by any means necessary, one must take the world into a modern age, a postmodern age where, you know, we're post-petroleum and post-conservatism and all these other things. What's going to happen then, right? There's going to be, it's just going to accelerate as opposed to, and then become impossible to actually counteract. It'll become a totalitarianism, not through the top down, but from the bottom up. So at that point, what is the real solution, right? So that's my little part one. Maybe I'll do a part two. I'm going to get my coffee now and I'll talk to you soon. Hey, this is part two of Chris Abraham Show, season 5, episode 62. I was just thinking about my part one, and honestly, my brain's not working today. God, I was really struggling to make myself understood, but let me try to summarize this, which is to say that there is a civil war happening between the left and the right, but it is more like establishment versus anti-establishment, and the war is not a bloody war, but it is a legal war that is weaponizing the rule of law in a very much non-balanced way, imbalanced and intentionally imbalanced way, not even a finger or a thumb on the scale, but an entire body on the scale that is being used to selectively indict, selectively prosecute, selectively, even more, selectively charge who is and who isn't being indicted or charged and brought before the court to be charged with a misdemeanor or a felony or even an impeachment or even, you know, a political indictment of hearts and minds before the media or before public opinion. So there's definitely a war happening. This isn't even a soft war where people are just sort of yelling at each other. This is actually where you are using the rule of law as a weapon to either, well, basically to make a spectacle. What do mafioso do? They say, I'm going to kill him in order to make a, I can't even think today. I'm going to kill him and his family so that everybody around him, the word gets out of what I'm willing to do so that everybody is afraid to do anything and they know who the big dangerous boss is. Oh man, my brain isn't working today. I know the word, it's right there. I will make a spectacle, but I will make it known by the fact that I destroy you to let everybody else know not to ever try this thing again. So there's a real feeling of disincentive, not just with regards to the whole concept of trying to destroy Trump and everybody around him, his disciples, not only to crucify Trump, but to crucify his disciples, or to drive them underground, or to destroy them or their legacy, to make it so obvious that to do anything, to even defend Trump or any of his posse, or to defend anybody from the January 6th accusations, from the riot on the Capitol, even to take up like Alan Dershowitz does, even trying to take up the gauntlet of people to have their day in court based on the Bible, the biblical concept of a man should be charged not by his face, but by his deed. You know, this should not be an attack on a person or their character. It shouldn't be conducted to destroy them based on something they did in the past or something that they might have done, or a reflection of their behaviors all the way back to when they were a child, or who their father was, or who their children are. It should be based on the decisions, the fraud, the crimes perpetrated by the person themselves, and with the evidence, because of the assumption that all men are created equal, and all men are are innocent until proven guilty. So based on that, since those things don't matter, since I guarantee you that no matter what, Hillary Clinton will not be charged with any crimes, and Bill Clinton will not be charged with any crimes, and Barack Obama will not be charged with any crimes, and George W. Bush will not be charged with any crimes. Even though all those people are war criminals, even though they've done things that are strangely exactly the same and never been protected by the office of the president. Hillary Clinton was never Hillary Clinton president. Hillary Clinton was only ever Secretary of State, right? Or Senator. She did not have the ability to decide what is and what isn't top secret and what isn't protected by those powers. And yet, just because a prosecutor or a judge or an AUSA or anybody decides that it's not something that they want to do, they don't have to. The crime does not compel the charge. You cannot charge people for whatever reasons, because they're an informant, because you make a deal, because quite possibly they're on your side, or they're an ally, or they're a powerful person, or the ripple effect of that decision would have undue side effects that are considered to be anti-capitalistic, anti-democratic, anti-democrat, anti-establishment, anti-business, or would have secondary effects of putting pie in the face of whatever agency, whatever agent, or just the United States government. And in some way would, which is the argument, I guess, for wanting to cut off Trump at the knees, is if anybody ever believes that the election for president 2020 was ever fraudulent, then that would bring attention. You know, American is do as I say, not as I do. Your parents are above reproach. And if your parents are considered to be, if your beautiful parents are considered to be liars, cheaters, thieves, robbers, fraudsters, shills, if they are, grifters, then they'll never have any authority on you. They will not have the ability to say, you are hereby, I take away your cell phone from you. You will lose the authority of the... The funny thing is you need to do the worst type of fraud imaginable to quite possibly, I don't know, steal an election, whether it's 2000 between Gore and Bush, or whether it was 2016 between Hillary and Trump, or whether it was 2020 between Biden and Trump. If you prove at any point that American presidential elections or senatorial elections or gubernatorial elections or mayoral elections or representative elections or state senators or state reps or whatever, if you start to prove that the entire process and the machinery and the clockwork of voting is in any way corroded, corrupt, dirty, rotten, full of fraud, like we proved every year for the last 100 years about Chicago, then first of all, we won't have any standing when it comes to our imperialism around the world, where we are giving away with lots and lots of funds, a Pell Grant, if you will, not a needs-based, but just a a merit-based granting system of the world to encourage freedom and freedom of democracy and liberal democracy and freedom of women and freedom of people to be whatever gender, to have whatever family they want, to believe whatever they want. If we're in fact considered to be hypocrites and frauds and shills and hypocrites, and if that can be proven, unfortunately, the truth always wants to be free. And, you know, like it shows, right? When you protest too much, people start to really wonder, and then they start to distrust, and they don't trust a thing, anything that you have to say, and they consider you to be untrustworthy, and you lose anyway. And you can't ever spank them into respect. You can only earn the respect. And I think that the left and the Democratic Party and the establishment, neo-libs and neocons, have realized that door is open, and all the horses and the dogs and the cats and the steer and the cows have all left the building, and earning respect is out the door. And now you have to threaten enough to establish fear. And fear is a good enough placeholder for respect that it'll work for a couple generations. And based on what Alan Dershowitz said, it's going to be authoritarianism in the next 20 years, because you won't be able to have democratic elections unless you can guarantee that it's like a neo-lib or a neocon. It cannot be a leftist populist. It cannot be a rightist populist. It certainly can't be a populist who believes in, you know, cheap beer and cheap gas and cheap diesel and cheap cars. It can't be one of those. And it can't be a populist in general. And it certainly can't be a nationalist. And based on the remaining 20% of acceptable voters, this is going to have to be authoritarianism, because you can't rely on a democratic republic. You cannot rely on the Electoral College, and you certainly can't rely on the Supreme Court if you're going to be able to win over the House, because the House always wins. So you need to become the House. You need to remain the House. You need to maintain that there are no black markets or gray markets. And you need to make sure that there's no competing system in place. Anyway, so I believe that there is a civil war. It's not played with guns and knives and bombs and fighter planes and tanks and not even Toyota Tacomas, but it is played with the law. It's played with the fact that you can destroy someone's reputation using legal weaponization in such a way that it's as good as killing them, giving them, you know, even now people are saying, why would you vote for someone with 97 indictments? An indictment doesn't say at all that Trump is in any way but innocent until proven guilty. But how could there be 97 indictments unless he's completely a criminal, right? Wink, 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 wink. Yeah, don't forget, most people are under 100 IQ. And still, most people are under 120 IQ, and even more people are under 100 IQ, and most people are still under 130 IQ, and anybody above 130 IQ is extremely rare. So you are in the midst of the second civil war. The rule of law is weaponized. It's meaningless. It is being used to politically prosecute and politically persecute. It's a hearts and minds war. It is a war of reputation. It's a war of destruction of reputation. It's a war of destroy, destroy, destroy before appeals catch up. And even so, nobody ever really internalizes the correction page, even after everybody is released and given $10.5 million each afterwards. It doesn't matter. That person's reputation is destroyed. I don't think, based on this and based on the fact that it's being very effective, insofar that even Alex Jones is on his radio show telling people Do not fight with weapons. Do not fight with weapons. Do not fight with weapons. Everything's a trap. People are ready for you. They're going to arrest you. They're going to throw you into jail. And you will have been mollified before you even have an opportunity to play out your games of civil war or your games one side's games of killing commies, the other side's game of killing Nazis. It'll never come to that. There's private jail, there's courts, there's indictments, there's reputation, there's crisis response teams, there's media teams, there's media blackouts, there's accusations of pedophilia or child pornography, there's accusations of rape and incest, there's accusations of assault, there's accusations of transphobia, homophobia, anti-Semitism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's done. We're all, everybody, because of this precedent, we are all in the swamp. We're all stuck in the tar pit. We all are trying to remain buoyant enough so that we don't get caught in the sand fog. I can't remember what it's called when you, like in old movies where people get sucked into a sand, not a bog or a swamp, but you have to go ahead and you have to try to find, for whatever reason, they're always supplied with roots or vines. Like if you enter into one of these sand bogs, sand pits or whatever, there's always a vine that's going to be there to save you. There ain't no vines anymore. Comply or perish. Be a good little boy. Do what you're told. Do not question the narrative. Buy an EV. Rent a house. Do not buy an EV. Rent a vehicle when you need it. Eat crickets. Eat bugs. And be happy that you live in America. The freest, most democratic, most liberty-filled, most honest, most transparent country in the world. Forever and ever. Amen. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. Anyway, this is Chris Abraham, Chris Abraham Show, Season 5, Episode 62, I think. And I love you, and I'll talk to you soon, and I hope you're well. Have a great Labor Day. Is that right? Or is it Memorial Day, Labor Day? I don't know. 4th of September, which is Mark Harrison's birthday. Have a good Mark Harrison's birthday, all y'all. Mark Harrison's birthday is on Labor Day, and Chris Abraham's birthday is on International Women's Day. That is so awesome. Anyway, I love you guys. Talk to you soon. Mahalo. Bye-bye.
For listening to the Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.